When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
During our lesson today, we will remove the varnish of the life of a rotten man who held the belief that woman could only be categorized as either goddesses or doormats. He was a prominent figure in the art world and influenced countless artists across the globe. However, his appalling treatment of his family starkly contrasted with his artistic brilliance. He saw his loved ones as nothing more than suffering muses who existed solely to inspire his creative masterpieces. We have all heard of him, and now it's time to learn all about the artist who mentally tortured those he claimed to love, Pablo Picasso. Magic mirror on the wall, who is the most rotten one of all? Hi, hello, and howdy, my darlings, and welcome to Rotten to the Core. I am the not-so-evil queen, Joshua Waters, and I am thrilled to have you join my lessons. This is the history podcast where we use a magic mirror and a touch of humor to explore the lives and actions of some infamous figures from our past, all with the goal to learn valuable lessons from their mistakes that can help us in our current lives. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone. There are only a few days left until spring, and I don't know about you, but I'm ready to put on my booty shorts and soak up some sunshine. I also plan to attack my local greenhouse for some pretty flowers and herbs to decorate my front porch. My true happy place is getting an iced coffee and maybe a pastry and walking around the huge greenhouse down the road from my house. Just me and a bunch of marvelous elderly women, all in our big sun hats. What's not to love? The beauty of the flowers, the smell of spring air, and even the simple beauty of watching someone's grandma fawn over and adore those lush blossoms. Ah, such sweet inspiration. I am often inspired in my own artworks by the simple beauty in the world. A coy smile, a quiet lake shore before a storm, and a moss-covered forest hiding secrets of the past, just to name a few. The artist in our lesson today was the opposite of that. He drew inspiration from suffering and did indeed become successful in selling the pain of others. I only knew him through the works of his I had seen and had no idea they were created out of something so vile, so dreadful, and rotten. Pablo Picasso was born Pablo Diego José Francisco de Puebla Juan Nepomuceno María de los Remedios Crespiano de la Santísima Trinidad on October 25, 1881 in Malaga, Spain. His family was not super wealthy, and his dad painted pictures of birds and other game animals. Ruiz spent most of his life teaching art at the School of Craft and running a museum nearby. Art was the air that Picasso breathed, the very essence of his being. From the moment he was born, he was destined to be a masterful artist. It was literally in his blood, and he couldn't imagine a life without it. Picasso started his artistic journey at the young age of 7, under the watchful eye of his father. It's fascinating to me how some people can get so deeply immersed in their passion that everything else starts to pale in comparison. He was so consumed with creating art that he started neglecting his schoolwork. It's as if art had taken over his life completely. At the mere age of 13 in 1894, he demonstrated his artistic talent by creating his first oil paintings. A year later, in 1895, he took his first step toward showcasing his work by exhibiting and selling them on a small scale. And it marked the beginning of his journey as an artist. That same year, Picasso and his family went through the traumatic death of his 7-year-old sister, Conchita, who died of diphtheria. And soon after, the family moved to Barcelona. Now, Picasso loved the city so much that he always reminisced about it to make himself feel happy, even when he got older. For him, the city was his real home and where he felt most comfortable. After they moved, his father was fortunate enough to get a job at the School of Fine Arts, and it's here that Picasso's talent was first recognized. At just 13, Picasso had the opportunity to take the entrance exam for an advanced class. Now, the exam was no easy feat and lasted usually a month, but with his father's encouragement, Picasso passed it in a week and gained entry to that class. I want to be clear here. I am not here to smear Picasso's talent or influence on the art world. He was a fantastic artist and inspired many after. My goal is to highlight the kind of person he was. And frankly, he seemed to be cruel, especially to women, and believed that they deserved to suffer. Hell no. In 1897, at the age of 16, the young and ambitious Pablo embarked on a journey of self-discovery. He decided to leave behind the confines of formal education and set off on his own. And despite enrolling in Madrid's prestigious Royal Academy of San Fernando, he quickly grew disillusioned with the rigid structure of the institution and chose to follow his own unique path instead. In 1900, Picasso and a close friend went to Paris for the first time. While living in Paris, Picasso experienced extreme poverty and had to burn his own paintings for warmth. A literal starving artist. He then returned to Madrid and started a magazine called Young Art. That's also when he began signing his name, Pablo Picasso, to his artwork. In early 1901, Picasso discovered that the friend he had moved to Paris with had committed suicide. In May of that year, he returned to Paris and moved into the studio of a sculptor named Namolo. And during that fall, he began creating a series of haunting works in memory of his friend. What came next is called Picasso's Blue Period, and it was a time when he mainly used shades of blue in his paintings, with some other colors here and there. One famous painting from this period is called The Old Guitarist. Some people think that Picasso's Blue Period paintings are quite sad, understandably. I mean, he lived as a starving artist, and one of his close friends took his own life because of the conditions. Picasso's Blue Period features a lot of blindness, poverty, and the female nude. He even visited a women's prison to sketch and draw some of the inmates nude. Can you imagine that happening today?
Yeah. I'd like to come to the women's prison to draw the women nude, please.
You like that? That's my straight voice. Now that I think of it, though, could I do that at a men's prison? What? I can fix him.
He said he loved me.
In 1904, springtime to be exact, Pablo packed his bags and moved to Paris for good. And his artwork took a drastic change. New types of artistic currents inspired him, and he switched from somber colors and nudes to paintings of things like the traveling circus and entered the Rose period of his artwork. Now, Picasso was super into his girlfriend, Fernande, who inspired him to create many new works before he became involved in Cubism. Critics and viewers often misunderstood early Cubism paintings as they thought that they were just geometrical art. However, the painters themselves believed that they were presenting a new kind of a reality using perspective and illusion. That's the only way I'm going to describe drag from now on. Multiple views of an object were presented to convey more information than traditional paintings. But along with Cubism, his work then became known for its violent treatment of the female body and mask-like paintings of the faces, which were influenced by African art.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Now that we have a grasp on his early life and what inspired him in his paintings, I want to delve into the controversial aspects of his life and career as a person. As a celebrated artist, Pablo had countless relationships with women, including girlfriends, mistresses, muses, and sex workers. We all love a good tortured artist, don't we, ladies? Or a drummer. Out of the literal hundreds of women he was with, Picasso only married twice, and as you can guess, they didn't go well. In 1918, he married a woman named Olga, who is a ballerina. They stayed together for about 9 years before separating in 1927. They had a son named Paolo, and they remained legally married until she died in 1955 from cancer. Pablo had refused to divorce her and have to divide up his property with her, and even had her buried in an English cemetery instead of a Russian one. She was Russian, if I didn't mention. Later in 1961, at the age of 79, he married his second wife, Jacqueline. And while married to her, he also had a mistress named Marie, with whom he had a daughter, Maya, with. And when Picasso died, Marie even took her own life. In 1935, between marriages, Picasso met Dora Maar, who was also an artist, and they also had a romantic plus a professional relationship. They were together for more than 10 years, but things weren't always easy for her because she struggled with depression. Don't we all, honey? Bless her heart. They eventually split up in 1946, 3 years after Picasso started seeing someone else named Francois. And with her, he had two children, a son named Claude and a daughter named Paloma. But their relationship only lasted until 1953. Picasso's art reflects his complicated relationships with women. In one of his secret sketchbooks, he drew portraits of his then-secret mistress and gradually transformed her into terrifying creatures. He didn't hold back about his opinions on women either. He once referred to them as machines for suffering. but forgot to mention that he was the one causing their suffering. He had a deep-seated desire to create exceptional art, but he believed that he needed to make the women in his life suffer in order to gain the inspiration he required. He thought that through their pain and anguish, they would fuel his creativity and help him produce something truly remarkable. Honey, if it takes all that to get inspired, it ain't meant to be. There are plenty of other things we can hang on our walls. That twisted belief led him to treat the women in his life poorly, causing them immense emotional and psychological harm. He remained fixated on his art, ignoring all the damage he was causing to those around him. He also controlled his family's finances tightly, ensuring that his children and their spouses all depended on him financially. However, his controlling behavior did not end there. He even kept one of his exes and their child in poverty as a form of punishment and to assert his power over them. Of the 7 significant women in Picasso's life, 2 of them took their own lives and 2 lost their minds. Being one of Picasso's women meant watching as he sleeps with hundreds of people behind your back and treated you like trash. One of his granddaughters later said that he needed the blood of those who loved him, and that his repeated psychological destruction of the women he knew was a part of his creative process. Remember that the next time you admire one of his creations. For almost 80 of his 91 years, Picasso focused on producing art that he believed would keep him alive forever, but it didn't. He eventually died on April 8, 1973, at the ripe old age of 91, in France, of heart failure, during a dinner party he was hosting. The news quickly spread that he had died, leaving behind a legacy of thousands of artworks. However, those closest to him, I'm sure, felt a sense of relief knowing that the man who had exerted complete control of their lives was no longer able to hurt them. Pablo Picasso was an immensely successful artist, more so than almost anyone else in history. But his success as a husband, father, and as a good person was as tainted as the water in the cup he rinsed his brushes off in. He seemed to care only for himself and his artistic legacy, making him, yes, a great artist, but an absolutely rotten human being. The lesson I learned from Pablo is that you should never judge a painting by its painter. Learning about him truly helped me understand his artwork even more. Before, I saw it with my optimistic eyes, and now after learning about him, I see his work as time capsules of pain from the women and people he used and abused. Now, the next time I see one of his unique paintings, I'll think about the women who inspired it and offer my condolences to their spirit for their abused life with Pablo Picasso. That brings us to the end of today's lesson, my darlings. Let's cleanse ourselves of all the negativity we might have picked up while learning about Picasso, and I'll let you be off on your next adventure. Just take a deep breath and ground yourself in the here and now. May my mind, body, and spirit communicate clearly, allowing me to live in harmony with myself and those around me. Let any negative thoughts within me fade away, leaving only positivity and love. May I move forward with clarity and alignment with my highest self, allowing ease and flow to guide me toward my greatest desires. May I always remember that I am in constant connection and co-creation with Source. So be it. Thanks for supporting Rotten to the Core. Let's catch up again next week. In the meantime, be happy, find peace, and don't hurt anyone. I'd love to hear what you thought about Pablo Picasso and what lessons you learned on any one of my socials. If you enjoy Rotten to the Core, please follow me on Instagram or join me on Patreon. Both of those are at It's Rotten to the Core. My TikTok, while it's still legal here in the US, is at Rotten in History. And you can also listen to me on my other podcast, Mystery Inc., that I do with my brother Shane and our friend Kim. We also have a Facebook group called Shane and Josh's Rabbit Hole, where we can interact and have a plethora of extra fun, foul, mysterious, rotten, and historical things a-brewing. It was lovely spending time with you today. Have a fantastic week, my darlings. Bye.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.